So we'll resume this text called Dhyana Swarupam, which is the principle and practice of meditation. In the first three verses, we have heard what meditation is not. Even though people think meditation is an activity, it's not an activity, but it's a state of being. It's not doing something, but abiding in the knowledge of who I am. And we had covered that in detail a few weeks ago. If you want to refer to the talks, you can go to firstpower.info. Website is called firstpower.info. So it is not an activity, but it is a state of being, which I'll explain a little bit later. And it's also not prayer to a form of the Lord, even though thinking about a form or visualizing the form or praying helps to quieten the mind and can lead to meditation, but it's not really meditation. That also we had covered a couple of weeks back. Today we shall talk about japa, or chanting of a mantra, chanting the name of the Lord. Is that meditation? People think, you know, when I chant Om, or when I chant the name of God, Om Namah Shivaya, or the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or Allahu Akbar as Muslims chant, or Buddhists chant Om Mani Padmane Om, is that meditation or is that not meditation? And what is the benefit of chanting the name of the Lord? We shall talk about that today. So we'll go to verse number 4 in page 18. Avartanani mantrasya, avartanani mantrasya, japo va karma kathyate, japo va karma kathyate, swarupavasthitir dhyanam, rupavasthitir dhyanam, naitadavrit. Rupakam, aitadavritti rupakam. So what is japa or chanting? Avartanani mantrasya, repetition of a mantra. What is a mantra? We'll talk about that. And that is called japa. And vakarma kathyate. Kathyate means it is said to be an activity of speech. Just as the body has certain activities, I lift my hand, I pick up a book, that is an activity of the body, and the activity of the mind is to think. So what is an activity of the speech? Is to chant the name of the Lord. Of course, speech does many other things. You can talk and you can talk good or bad things, but when you chant the name of the Lord, that is called japa. But what is meditation? Meditation is not repetition. It's not repetition of the name of the Lord. Swarupa avasthiti, abidance in the nature of the self, is called meditation. And na etad avritti rupakam, it is not of the nature of repetition. So today we shall not talk much about meditation, which we'll do next time. Next time when we meet on January 8th, we'll go into more detail of what meditation is. Today we are going to talk about what meditation is not, so that we remove the doubts, and then we will go into the depth of what it is. So what is japa, or chanting the mantra? And what is the meaning of mantra? Mantra means mana, means mind, trayate, which means protects. So mantra is one which protects the mind. How does it protect the mind? We'll go into a little more detail later on, but let us just remember that chanting the name of the Lord protects the mind. Now, how should the chanting be done? In all the scriptures, we have the rosary. It is there in Christianity, it is there in Islam, it is there in Hinduism. But what they do is the rosary has a lot of beads. And the beads are meant to concentrate the mind. So what we do is we repeat the name of the Lord. It could be any name. It doesn't have to be necessarily Hindu name or a Muslim name or a Christian name, but any name of the Lord can be repeated. And what you do is you chant one name of the Lord and you move the bead, and you chant another one, you move the bead. And the way to do it is have the beads hanging by the ring finger, between the ring and the middle finger, and with the thumb you move it. The index finger is said to be kept away from chanting, because the index finger, they say, is considered by some people to be inauspicious, because the index finger points. When I point at somebody, that means, they say, you know, it's rude to point, we always tell our children. Because when you point at somebody, then you are distinguishing him and me. I am separate from him. It is considered rude. That's why the index finger is not used in chanting, because it's considered to be the ego, which separates me from him or me from him. So when I separate myself from somebody, then I am at the ego level. So we remove the index finger, we put the bead on the ring finger, stabilize it with the middle finger, and then with the thumb, you move the bead. And each time you chant the name of the Lord, you move the bead. Why do you use that? Because the idea is that the chanting has to be done with single-pointed attention. It should not be done mechanically. You should not do Om, 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 or Om Namah Shivaya, not like that, but it has to be done with attention. It has to be done with love, and it has to be done keeping the Lord's form and the Lord's qualities, because the Lord's form is so beautiful and divine, whether you think of Jesus on the cross or Shiva in meditation or Krishna playing the flute or Buddha sitting in silence under the tree. Whenever you think of the form of the Lord, your mind becomes divinized. Your mind becomes pure. Because they say chanting the name of the Lord is like a detergent. Just as when your clothes are dirty, you put detergent or Tide or whatever and you run it through the machine, and the clothes which were dirty, brown and mud come out pure and white and clean. So similarly, the chanting of the name of the Lord is like a detergent which purifies the mind. The mind becomes divinized, the mind becomes pure, and the mind becomes full of love. Because whatever you think of, those qualities you develop. Like we have talked about before, a basketball player, when he's playing basketball, he's all the time thinking of Michael Jordan and how he used to shoot. And so what you think of, then he becomes like that. That's what Kobe said, that Michael was his idol when he was growing up, because he wanted to be like him. So similarly, a scientist, when he sits in the lab, he says, I want to be like Einstein, I want to be like Oppenheimer, a physicist, a physician. When he's sitting down, he's thinking of the great physicians in a pasture and Hippocrates, and how he should. So similarly, when I chant the name of the Lord and I'm thinking of the Lord's qualities, what it is doing is it is divinizing my mind and making my mind single-pointed. Now, why do we need to make our mind single-pointed? People always ask, you know, what is the benefit of that? Now, think about it. Our usual state of our mind is either multi-pointed or zero-pointed. What do we mean by multi-pointed? That means when I'm awake, I'm thinking of so many things. My mind is rapidly running from my work to my business to my family to my surroundings, and then the guy who's, you know, passes me in the traffic lane, what I've heard in the news or what I watched in the TV. So the mind is constantly jumping from one topic to another. And that is the biggest problem. The cause of stress is that the mind is multi-pointed. It's not able to focus. And we find people who are stressed is because their mind is constantly agitated. So what do psychiatrists do? Give them a pill so they fall asleep. So I can't sleep, doctor. Okay, here's a sleeping pill, and he falls asleep. And same thing with us. Either I'm agitated and disturbed, or I'm asleep. So either multi-pointed or zero-pointed. But chanting the name of the Lord with a single focus. My focus is on not only on the name, but on the qualities. What it does is it focuses the mind and makes it single-pointed. And a single-pointed mind is required even for progress in any field. If a person wants to be a successful mountain climber, What does he do? He makes his mind single-pointed that I'm from next 5 years, I'm going to work so that I can climb Mount Everest or climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So his whole focus is that for the next 5 years, you know, he exercises, he eats right, he builds up his body, he starts with smaller hills and then goes to smaller mountains, and ultimately he's able to climb, you know, whatever his goal is. Same way a medical student or a science student or, an engineering student, or their main focus is how am I going to be a successful physician, a successful scientist, a successful engineer, a successful lawyer. So they have to make their mind single-pointed. So chanting the name of the Lord helps to focus our mind, which is multiple directions dissipated, focus on the one, and that is the name of the Lord. And ultimately that silence, then what that's from that single-pointed chanting, the mind then becomes silent. And that is what meditation is. In the silence of the mind, you then turn the mind's attention inward. So it has to be done with an attitude of surrender. That when I chant the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter, as I said, what name. I always think of the Lord as being somebody higher, somebody superior to me. He's my creator. Whatever I have has been given by the Lord. And I surrender to that. I bow down to that. I prostrate to that. So an attitude of surrender, an attitude of humility has to be there for any, you know, spiritual progress. Because if a person is arrogant, very egoistic, that I am the one who did it, then immediately that ego comes in. So the first attitude in spirituality is humility and surrender. Even Christ said, the meek shall inherit the earth. His idea was that, even look at Christ, how much, what an evolved soul he was, but he was the model of humility, the model of surrender, where he said, the Father in heaven and I are one, and whatever I have accomplished is because of that one Father. So an attitude of surrender, an attitude of humility. There are a lot of benefits of chanting the name of the Lord. Even at the physical level, if you talk to people who deal with energy and with chakras, they tell us that the body is not a physical entity. You may say, well, the body is a physical entity, but they say, no. We are a bunch of molecules in vibration. Each of our molecules is constantly vibrating. So the whole body is like a magnet in constant vibration, in constant motion. And just as a magnet has to be, after a while, gets aligned north and south. You know, they say if you hang a magnet, it will move around and get aligned to the north and south. So similarly, the body, which is aligned in different directions, and the vibrations of the body are very diffuse. But when you chant the mantra, it is very interesting that even the body vibrations get aligned. So the body gets aligned, you know, when all the body's vibrations get focused in one direction, and the body actually heals. Chanting the name of the Lord actually heals the body. A lot of the illnesses of the body, not only mental but physical illnesses, are caused by misalignment of our chakras, of our energy centers. So when you chant the name of the Lord with love and devotion and single-pointedness, then your body gets aligned and your mind gets aligned. So it helps at the physical level and it helps at the mental level. As I said, it purifies the mind, divinizes the mind, and aligns the mind with God. It makes us one with God. And it protects. Now, we chant Om, A-U-M. Now, why do we chant Om? What is the meaning of Om? Because that is what here is said. A represents it is said in the scriptures, A represents the waking state, U represents the dream state, and M represents deep sleep. So in our body, in our life, we are either in the waking state or in the dream state or in the deep sleep state. But when you chant Om, then it is ends in silence. So I chant Om. And then there is silence. And then again Om. So the silence is what is the basis of all sounds. Because the silence is what is permanent. The sound emerges from silence and merges back into silence. That's why we say pay attention to the silence, not only when you're chanting Om, not only to the sound, but pay attention to the silence. And ultimately, the mind has to merge into the silence. So that is the benefit of the mantra, that it makes us aware of the silence behind the sound. And that is why we chant Om. And as I said, the chanting has to be done with alertness. One has to remember the name of the Lord. As I said, it's not a mechanical activity. That's why when we use the bead, also it prevents you from falling asleep when you're moving the beads, because otherwise you might be chanting and you might fall asleep. But as you are moving, the more activities of the body you are using, the more it keeps you alert. It prevents you from falling asleep. Also, when this chanting is done with full attention, it helps to improve memory, concentration. You know, a lot of the mental activities, the brain also is nourished by chanting the name of the Lord. Talking about memory reminds me of a little story. There was this older man, and he was talking to his friend. And he said, you know, I went to this clinic, this memory clinic, and ever since I came back from the memory clinic, my memory has improved a lot. He said, really? He said, yup, I can remember everything now. So his friend says, what was the name of the memory clinic? So he says, well, you know the flower? You mean jasmine? No, not jasmine. The round flower, red and has thorns. Oh, you mean rose? He says, yeah, rose. What was the name of the memory clinic? So I guess it didn't help him much. But chanting the name of the Lord does help in improving the memory. So this reminds me of another story. This I have told before, but it's worth repeating. Whenever you talk about chanting the name of the Lord, this story comes to mind, and I thought it's worth repeating. So there was this man who was very devoted to his guru. His guru lived outside the village in a small hut. And this young man would go and serve his guru, you know, take him food every day and then wash his hut and, you know, wash his clothes and do everything to serve the guru. Very, very devoted. And he always sat and listened to his teacher and all. But he was extremely poor. He had no money. He couldn't even feed his children. He tried, but there was not many jobs available. So the guru one day saw that this man was really suffering. And the man also said, you know, I have no money and I have no food and things are very tough. So guru said, okay, I can help you. So he said, I can, with my spiritual power, I can give you a genie. The genie, yeah, he said, the genie will have great power and he can provide you whatever you want. He said, oh, Guru, that will be great. You mean he can give me food, money? Yep, he can give you food, money, house, whatever you want. But there is one condition. You have to keep the genie busy. If you stop him from doing activity or don't give him work, he's going to eat you up. Oh, teacher, that is easy. I have so much work to be done. I'll have no problem keeping the genie busy. Guru said, I'm warning you. If you don't have work for him, he's going to eat you up. Okay, no problem. So Guru, with his mantras, he chants a mantra and out comes this genie, you know, flying in the air. So he says, Master, what is your command? He asked this young man. He says, you'll do whatever. He said, yeah, whatever you need. He says, okay. Give me food. You know, my wife and children and I, we haven't eaten in so many days. You know, by magic, instantly, all the world's foods emerge before him. Pizza and Chinese and Mexican, whatever he wants. Everything is there. Wow. He's a genie. Okay, now I need more work. I produce the food. He's okay, build me a house. Within 30 seconds, beautiful palatial house. This is mine. Yep, you can live in this. Give me more work. He said, okay, get me money. All the rubles and dollars and Japanese yen. Whatever current, pounds, everything is there. Give me clothes. Instantly, all the clothes. Now he's running out of things. You know, what can he ask? He's asked for money, he's asked for a house, he's asked for clothes, he's asked for everything. And the genie, give me what. And he can't think of what more to ask. And the genie is ready to pounce on him and eat him. So he runs to the master and he says, save me, save me. He said, what happened? He says, I can't think of anything more to ask for. The genie within 5 seconds produces whatever I want. What am I to do? He's going to eat me up. So master says, don't worry, don't worry. I told you keep him busy. He says, okay. So he says, what you do is tell the genie to erect a tall pole in front of your house. Anytime you want the genie to do anything, you tell him, okay, bring me food, bring me money, bring me house. But when you have no work for him, tell the genie, go up and down the pole, up and down the pole. So the genie will be busy, you know, and then when you need him, you utilize him. So mantra is just like that. Because our mind is like a genie. It can do whatever we want. You know, if you put your mind to it, if you want to go to the top of Mount Everest, you can go. You want to go into space, you can go. You want to go to the bottom of the ocean, you can go there. You put your mind to it, you can accomplish whatever you want. But the problem is that the mind that is kept inactive, not busy, will destroy you, will eat us up. Because they say an empty mind is a devil's workshop. So a mind that is not kept busy can get us into trouble. So when I have nothing else to do, when I have work to do, okay, I have to do my project, I have to do my office work, my housework, all that you do. But when you have nothing else to do, then tell the mind, chant the name of the Lord. Just as the genie was kept busy going up and down the pole. So you tell the mind, okay, I have nothing else to do right now. I just sit quietly and chant the name of the Lord. So that's what they're saying, that chanting the name of the Lord keeps the mind occupied, keeps the mind divinized. And they say start from now, start from today, because chanting is such a beneficial activity. It helps at the physical level, it helps at the mental level. And it should not be done with a particular motive, even though chanting gives us a lot of mental power. But it should not be done with some selfish motive that with this power I'll accomplish this or I'll do that. It should be just as an act of surrender, an act of gratitude to the Lord, just a remembrance of the Lord without any motive, without anything selfish. Also chanting, even though there are a lot of benefits, occasionally there are some disadvantages, and one of is it can lead to fatigue. Because what happens is that when people start chanting the name of the Lord and they see the benefits, they get all excited and they say, from tomorrow 1 hour I'm going to chant, or half an hour I'm going to sit. And so what happens is their mind is not trained and they want to focus the mind. I have to think of God, I have to think of nothing else. And so they're putting so much effort, so much mental strain, that they can end up with headaches or fatigue. So they say start slowly. Gradually, you know, you start initially with 2 minutes or 5 minutes and then slowly increase to 10 minutes, 20 minutes. So as you start enjoying the process, you can chant the name of the Lord. Just as a swimmer, initially if he starts swimming, they're doing, you know, wild motions and their activities are very unfocused. And so they'll swim a short distance, 20 yards or 50 yards, and they get tired. Why? Because their muscles are not trained and they are not doing it the right way. But after a few months of training, that same swimmer can swim, five miles or 7 miles across the river or across a lake, and doesn't get tired because he has trained his muscles and he has learned how to conserve his energy. You know, because same thing with any running or any activity. In the beginning, you get tired, but as you learn to conserve your energy, so similarly, chanting the name of the Lord can lead to fatigue, but as you practice slowly, it helps you to quieten the mind. And with that quiet mind, you can then meditate. And what is meditation? We have talked about before. Meditation is abidance in the self. Because I have this idea that I am the body. But in meditation, we come out with the understanding that I am that divine self, I am that spirit, I am that Holy Spirit who at this moment, even though my true nature is the spirit, but I am occupying this body, mind, and intellect, and I have mistakenly thought myself to be this body, to be this individuality, and my name is Anil or Jesse or Vijay, whatever name I have given myself. I'm a man or a woman, I'm Indian or American. So these ideas, these misconceptions are removed in meditation, and I abide in the self, and I abide in that status, that I am that self. So chanting the name of the Lord quietens the mind and can lead us to meditation. It brings us closer to God by constantly remembering Him. And I realize that God is not only outside in the temple or church, not only in heaven, but in my heart as life, as consciousness. So chanting has a lot of benefits and can lead us to meditation. But chanting is not meditation. Chanting is a prerequisite to meditation. So this in brief is what is the meaning of japa, or chanting the name of the Lord. We repeat the names, Lord's name, with single-pointed devotion, with love, with an attitude of surrender. It should be done with alertness and done with an attitude of making the mind single-pointed, so that with that single-pointed mind, then I can focus on who God is and what is my true nature. So this in brief is japa. Anybody has any questions or any comments?
In order to progress with your meditations.
Actually, chanting the name of Lord, even without meaning, even without focus, helps. But when you chant with remembering his name and his form and his qualities with love, it increases the benefit. It's like Tylenol. If you take it, whether you know the ingredients or not, when you take Tylenol, it will remove your headache. So similarly, chanting a mantra, if you don't know the meaning and you chant it, it still will help. But if you know the meaning and you chant it with right understanding, it's even more beneficial. Yes. And it has to be done with faith. Right. But it's a very good point. Yeah, sure. You can use any form of God. It doesn't matter. Any form of God is fine, yes. Definitely. Yeah. And it should be the same mantra. You should pick one mantra and stick to it. You cannot change, okay? For 1 month I chant on Jesus and then I switch to Buddha and then I switch to Shiva. Not like that. You have to pick a form and a particular mantra which kind of relates to you, and then focus on that, yes. No, definitely, you can chant on Jesus. There's no problem.
Having difficulties in relationships or
right.
Health, or is there such a thing?
Yes. Actually, like, there are certain, in our scripture, there are certain mantras which have certain benefits. Like, certain mantras will, if your child is sick or you are sick, then there is a certain mantra, Shiva mantra, when you chant, it can relieve, you know, your illness. If you have ignorance, you know, if things are not clear mentally, if your mind is not sharp, then chanting the Gayatri mantra will improve, make you more sharp mentally. So yeah, mantras have certain focus, certain benefits, you know, which are related to the mantra. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you know the meaning of the mantra and you are doing it with a particular focus, then you will get the benefit. Also, sometimes mantras are given by gurus. You know, if you have a guru or a teacher and you go to that teacher, then the teacher could give you a mantra. Sometimes they whisper the mantra in the ear. The idea being not that it should be kept secret. In fact, there are certain gurus who will charge, or teachers who charge lots of, you know, like what we teach free here in meditation. There are certain organizations which charge you $1,500, you know, to teach you what we teach here every week free. And there they will, you know, give you a particular mantra which is supposed to be secret and not shared with anybody. But the idea of getting a mantra from a guru is that the guru has a lot of spiritual power if the guru is truly evolved. And when he gives you or she gives you a mantra, chants it in your ear, then he or she will add their spiritual power to the mantra. So I myself had got my mantra from a very, very evolved soul, very evolved teacher. And my wife says, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but she says that I progressed spiritually much faster after I had got that mantra from that guru, which he whispered in my ear. That may be the fact. But yeah, it is true that when you get it from a guru, a specific mantra, which is necessary for your spiritual growth, that can help. But what we say here is that any mantra is good, you know, any name of God is fine. But yeah, if you happen to know a great spiritual master, and if you approach him or her, and if they give you a mantra, definitely that is beneficial. Yeah, I chant my mantra every day. In fact, as I've said before, I go to bed chanting the mantra. I lie down in bed, and then I relax my body from head to toe. And then I watch my breath and I chant the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. I chant and go to sleep with that. And then when I try to wake up with the first thought is that mantra. I don't get out of bed until I've chanted that mantra. And then I try to chant it during the day as often as I remember. But yeah, I do it the last thought before I go to bed. And the first thought as soon as I wake up is I try to chant the name of the Lord. Generally, that's what I do. No, I don't use the beads. I don't use the beads. But a lot of people do because it helps to concentrate the mind. For a while I was, but then I kind of just fell by the wayside. But yeah, you use the beads because it helps to concentrate the mind better. Or you can relate it to your breath. You know, breathe in and out and then chant the mantra. As you breathe in and then as you breathe out. So whatever, you know, but it should be done regularly and sincerely and daily. Yeah, that's very important. Yeah, definitely the chanting of the name. And as often as you can remember during the day, chant. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Christian mantra or Buddhist or a Hindu or whatever. But it should have the name of Lord associated with it. You cannot chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. You know, even that's the name, but it's not the name of the Lord. You are repeating that, but that's not going to get you anywhere. Definitely, yes. Words have a lot of power, and these mantras that especially that are given in our Vedas were not random words. They're not picked out of the thin air. It is said that the rishis, the great sages in the past, were in deep meditation, and in their meditation they heard these sounds which they then passed on to us. So they have great spiritual power. And in fact, they say chanting or even playing them, you know, like some people, I know of people who will call a priest to their house every day and pay him for half an hour or an hour to chant these mantras. Because it said it purifies the atmosphere. Just chanting the mantras improves the vibrations in the house. So definitely it has physical benefits. As I said, it helps the body to align itself. It can heal illnesses too. Yes, definitely chanting the name of the Lord definitely aligns the body in the right direction. A lot of the illnesses of the body come from illness of the mind. You know, because the mind is agitated, that's why you get high blood pressure, heart disease, a lot of the stress-related activities. So definitely chanting the mantras helps health. And yeah, specific words do have specific powers. Absolutely. So when you chant the mantra, if you know the meaning and you know its purpose, it will definitely accomplish that. Like the Gayatri mantra, you know, which we chant in the Hindus do, that helps improve your intelligence. That's what my wife tells me. She says, because I used to, for a year, for half an hour, 45 minutes, I used to chant that mantra and listen to it on a CD and then go do my meditation. So it does help your memory also. So yeah, specific words have specific potency or power. Yes.
It vibrates
at
certain frequency?
Uh-huh. The Om, yeah. Om, absolutely. Om is the cosmic frequency. That's why even the river, when you listen to that, it makes a sound of Om. The whole cosmos reverberates to the frequency of Om.
Isn't that the one that says it's called the synchronized with the waves, the ocean?
Yes,
waves,
yes, with the ocean and with the whole cosmos. In fact, even the Bible says, you know, the God alone was and the Word was with Him. When they mean Word, they mean sound. And the first sound that emerged was Om. Om was the first sound from which all the world's languages came. The entire universe evolved from Om. So Om has a lot of power. It's a very, very powerful vibration when you chant Om. And that's we'll practice that today. And you're right. There is a lot of power in chanting of the word Om. And that's why all our mantras start with Om. You know, we chant only Om, or you can chant Om Namah Shivaya. That means I prostrate. Nama means prostrate to Shiva. Om Namo Narayanaya. Whatever your chosen form of God is, you can prostrate to Him. Or just chant Om and I prostrate to the divinity that is within. Om is God's presence within. So it's the idea of prostrating to the higher. That is the idea of chanting the mantra. Yeah, so when we say God, we always look up. You know, you don't say, oh, thank you, God. You know, you say, thank you, God, you look up. God, this does not mean that God is only up. God is everywhere. But when we say up, it means higher in the sense of He's higher than us. Just as I say my boss, you know, He's higher than me. But His office could be on the ground floor and my office could be on the fourth floor. But they say, I have to talk to my high command. You know, if a salesman goes to for a contract and he says, you know, you're selling me this product for $100, but I want to buy it for $80 and I'll buy 10,000 pieces, the salesman will say, wait a minute, I have to talk to the higher-ups. I have to talk to my boss. But his office may be on the fourth floor, the boss may be on the ground floor. High doesn't mean high in location, but high is who is higher in the command in the office. So similarly, God is considered higher because He's above us. He's superior to us. So that is the idea. So I'm lower and I surrender to the higher. That is the whole purpose of chanting.
You can't just meditate and don't chant.
Well, chanting helps to quieten the mind for meditation. But other people feel that maybe doing some breathing exercises may help. Chanting is one of the methods. But there are many other methods. You know, you can observe the breath. Some people can do yoga exercises. Some people do some breathing exercises. The idea is that the mind should become quiet and should become single-pointed. And then with that quiet and single-pointed mind, you turn to meditation. But yeah, chanting is one of the methods. You know, we have the six steps. Can I have that big board? We do that in the, all of you must have attended the orientation. We talk about that. But these are the seven steps to meditation. You know, you should be fully awake, back erect, eyes closed, relax the body, observe the breath and chant the mantra. So when you do these six steps, then your mind is quiet and then in silence you can go into meditation. So that's why mantra is an important part of